Hey everyone, it's Will Johnston with the MicroLife Podcast, and we are excited to talk about a variety of really cool topics today with one of my friends from a former life.
Way back in the day.
Way back in the day. We won't say how many years ago, but I'm sure we will some part of this. So I've got Stephanie Richardson here with me.
Mm-hmm. Hello, guys.
So Stephanie is the owner, founder of Moxie Maids of Atlanta.
Yeah.
So today, we are going to be getting into all good tidbits about influencing your life to tweak so your lifestyle can be on a better path to minimalism and just overall goodness.
Yes. Goodness. Greatness.
Greatness. Yeah. Greatness in the minimalist world.
Yes.
So let's start with who we are. So Stephanie and I work together at a company a number of
years ago.
Stephanie came in and she was over digital.
Digital, yeah. I was like the digital marketing something. Marketing something. I can't remember.
And I was the event marketing something. And we were... I can't remember if we shared a desk. I know that we like kind of
stared. We were super close.
Yeah, we were super close. Yeah. We could see each other in our periphery.
Yeah.
So, so Stephanie and I like worked together about what, 2 or 3 years?
Yeah. Yep.
And then Stephanie left.
I did.
And I stayed. Rule number one, folks, look for that next job. Always keep climbing.
Yeah.
But so Stephanie and I were catching up about, you know, who we were and what we've done and where we've been. And Stephanie, kind of give me a little, just a quick little Reader's Digest of your past couple of years since we last worked together.
Yeah, so after we worked together at that company, I went and I had got another job, and that job was pretty good. It was pretty great. And then I actually got laid off, unfortunately, after working there for maybe about 2 or 3 years.
And because of the company.
Yes, because of the company.
Them it was shifting, just some shifting happening.
The business, so they had to lay off some people. So it was expected. We kind of knew it was coming, but it still was tough, right?
Right.
And then after that, I took like a small trip to Kenya, and that was great. And then after that, I had to look for another job. And I did. I got another job at another company, and I worked there for about maybe 4 years. And then things were shifting in that business as well, just another business bought another business, and layoffs were on the loom. People knew that was coming. So I was like, oh crap. Okay. I got to find another job. So I did again. And I think that job, that final job that I had, was the point where I said, okay, I don't think I want to get any more jobs. I have to figure something else out. So that particular job, I think, drove me into entrepreneurship. I think that was it for me at that point.
And you know, folks, if this is your first time listening, you know, I'm going to spare you my Reader's Digest version. But basically, you know, after my corporate experience, I quit. Just, you know, and I have to say, I was very lucky. I had no debt. Yep. I had no responsibilities.
Yeah.
I had no overarching responsibility to do something to take care of.
Yep.
Whether it be
which
a house,
helps.
Which helps. House, family, or whatever. But, and then now, you know, I'm an executive director of the nonprofit that I founded.
Which is huge.
Which is huge. But again, it's just so fascinating that Stephanie and I are on this, in this realm of entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
She took a different path to get here than I did.
Yeah.
But I also feel, you know, we also relate to the same issues that we went through to get here.
Yep.
And that is that whole thing of depending on another entity for your life.
For everything,
paycheck,
your livelihood,
your livelihood, everything. your healthcare, paycheck, the whole dependence on the W-2 check.
Yeah.
And so this idea of, you know, going into someone wanting you to sit in a particular place to make sure that you are working at least 8 hours a day, and it just drains you.
It drains the life out of you.
So today we are going to be talking about, in the minimalist fashion, we are going to be talking about minimalism.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, MicroLife and the MicroLife Institute, we are focused on helping create the best life for someone in a either smaller space or just looking at ways to tweak their current space to allow for more life to happen. And so Stephanie and I kind of wanted to get into about entrepreneurship and the lack of encouragement that our society tells us to go be an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's tough because, you know, as I think you and I were just talking offline, that when you are growing up, your parents, you go to college. It's a step, right? You go to college and you get a good job. That is success. And I think after a certain while, you're just like, well, is that success? Like,
exactly.
Is that really success? Like, again, nothing wrong with that, right? But I don't necessarily deem that as a success, because after a while, I didn't want anyone telling me, this is how much you can make.
Right.
This is your cap. This is how much we're paying you. And that's that.
Right.
I don't necessarily think that's super successful. I think that if, you know, going out, finding a way on your own and kind of figuring it out, and you determining
right.
how much you want to make or what you want
to
do.
Well, and that's to talk about, you know, and folks, I would love to hear what you define success as.
Yeah.
So email will@microlifeinstitute.org
yep.
what you feel success means to you.
Yeah.
And also, Stephanie, what's your email?
Stephanie@themoxymaids.com.
Email us both, because we'd love to hear
for
about
sure.
your ideas around what success is.
Yeah.
Because I was a part of a video that was called The ReDream Project about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the American dream has shifted.
Yeah.
Because not many people can attain what was attained in the 50s
yeah.
or in the 40s
yeah.
or even in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole idea around what success is and how our society, we are reminded daily through Instagram, social media, that other people are quote unquote having their best lives
mm-hmm.
when they're putting on a show for us.
Yeah.
We've all become entertaining techno nerds
yes.
type aspect
yeah.
where we have the ability to create almost like, you know what? I heard this term used the other day that everyone has become not videographers, but movie makers.
They have.
They have been able to make the best representation of their life.
Correct.
And so they are pushing out content
mm-hmm.
every day,
mm-hmm.
that, like, you know, from eating popsicles with famous people
mm-hmm.
to walking on the beach barefoot
mm-hmm.
or doing a handstand, which
yeah.
I can't do. You know, it's like you create these levels of what other people are defining success as, but also it is messing
mm-hmm.
with you.
Yes.
Mentally.
Yeah.
And so, you know, which kind of goes back into, you know, all right, what is entrepreneurship
mm-hmm.
and what could it do for someone
yeah.
in the minimalist, best lifestyle fashion?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of the things, kind of going back to what we were talking about and, like, you know, depending on a W-2 check, that's tough, because I think I'm just going to speak for me personally. Once you have a W-2 check coming in, you know, every week, every 2 weeks or every month, whatever the pay schedule is, you're going to have a paycheck. So I think that gives you freedom to spend and just acquire more stuff.
Yes.
Because you know, okay, if I spend, you know, $100 at the bar, it's okay. I have something.
I have the funds.
And I have another check coming. I can go to the mall, spend $500 on something I don't need. It's okay. I have another check coming. And I think sometimes you do that to kind of mask the stuff you have to go through Monday through Friday.
Right.
So Saturday and Sunday come, you're just like, I need to release
some
stuff.
Retail therapy.
There you go. And I need to be spending money to kind of cope with what's going on Monday through Friday.
So that also, you know, we talk about the mindset of, you know, entrepreneurship, but then also how that relates directly to happiness.
Yeah.
And, you know, so here we are killing ourselves
yeah.
at W-2 jobs
yeah.
that they are basically saying, don't be human from 9 to 5. Don't interact in ways that can make people upset.
Inappropriate.
Yes. Got it.
Yeah.
But then how do we help each other define happiness?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, so I always say happiness are two things.
Yeah.
You know, it is people in your life and experiences.
Yeah. Totally agree.
And so Stephanie and I both have traveled the world.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to keep traveling.
Yes.
Like, you know, I actually am at that point when I travel, like, I'm not that tourist that tries to go do everything.
Yeah.
But I try to look like I live there.
Right. You want to experience.
Exactly.
The city. Yeah.
So I, like, I find my favorite coffee shop.
Yep.
I find my favorite bar.
Yeah.
I find my favorite thing. And I'm just like, oh, my most recent trip was to Amsterdam, if
yeah.
you all followed. And And I lived like someone who lives in the Netherlands. Yeah. I had a bike. I went to work. Yeah. And, you know, it was fantastic.
Yeah. I saw you on Instagram.
Oh, thank you.
You were living your best life.
I was. And so, and I wasn't trying to make anyone jealous.
No, but it was great.
I was actually there for work.
Yeah.
Like, we were able to study how, you know, if we could take away some of these pressures,
yep,
healthcare,
yeah,
housing, yeah, costs,
yep,
you know, just imagine, mm-hmm, what life you could live.
Yeah.
And that's what I guess, you know, we're talking about today, folks. If you're able to become an entrepreneur in an area that is less expensive, so, yep, you can offset your dream, mm-hmm, of creating a business, mm-hmm, or starting something, mm-hmm, because that will lead you down the road to, I feel, how you define success,
mm-hmm,
and how you define happiness in your everyday life.
Yeah. And I think when you hit on something, the mindset, right? So when you transition from being a W-2 employee to being an entrepreneur, your mind shift, your mindset has to shift. It's a complete, your thought process, right? It's,
yes,
completely different.
Testify. Yes.
It's completely different, right? Nobody is telling you what to do. Like, you wake up, no one's telling you,
hey, get out of bed.
Get it right. There you go.
That's the big, there's one day where I'm just like, I just want to
I'm
lay
sitting here
all day.
And no one's going to stop me.
Right.
Right? And so it's like, no one's telling you, here are our goals. You have to have this done by 5. What are your goals for 5 years? No one is telling you that. You have to get up every day and make it up as you go.
One step at a time.
One step at a time.
Yeah.
And that's hard for people if you're used to someone telling you day in, day out, here is what you have to do. And here's when it has to be done by.
And I definitely, like, it's taken 6 years to finally, I feel, get out of,
yeah,
that. Even though we were talking to, there are moments where I'm like, I should be busy right now.
Yes.
What should I do with myself?
Right.
And you almost can work yourself up into a nervous anxiousness.
Correct.
That is deterrent of actually getting anything done.
Correct.
And honestly, maybe that moment you're meant to just sit there and think.
Right.
And come up with a new idea.
Right.
And then pursue it.
Right.
For your business.
Correct.
Or for your life.
Correct.
I mean, so I, going back to success, going back to job, like, taking on a different style of work allows you to take on a different lifestyle, which definitely you have to tweak. So you have to because,
yeah,
it's you can't be the picket fence, 2-car garage, you know, McMansion that always knows that you're going to get that paycheck every 2 weeks,
you
and your health care is only $20 a month.
Yep.
I mean, Stephanie and I were laughing about that. I'm like, dang. Oh, I wish we could
had
come
it
up
good.
With,
yeah,
we had it good.
Yeah.
But we have it great now.
For sure. And I think that's the hurdle. Like, when people will be like, well, you know, I don't think I can, you know, have my own business. And I think the reason why people think that is because they're looking at their bills, right?
Right.
They're looking like, my mortgage is $3,000 a month. I have a car note. That's $500 a month. I have a $300 a month Starbucks habit or whatever.
Right.
And if you can you have to pare that down, unless you just have just money just sitting somewhere that you can just have, which,
right,
most of us just don't have cash just sitting around. You have to minimalize your life so that way you're not depending on your business to fund a life that you used to have as a W-2 employee, because getting a business off the ground from like year 0 to year 5 is going to be tough as hell.
Yes.
I don't know if I can say that word.
No,
but it's going to,
yeah,
be tough, right?
Yeah, we can put a little non-disclosure.
Okay.
or the NFSW, whatever that means.
Oh, not safe for work. Right, don't play this, because it's going to get deep.
Wait, it's going to be.
So you have to minimalize your life. I had to do the same thing.
Yep.
Like, I was telling you, I was living in a certain neighborhood when I was a W-2 employee. I don't live there now.
Right.
I mean, I'm not on the streets, but I don't live in the fancy neighborhood that I used to. I had to pare down. You know, I sold my car. I mean, I still have transportation, but I sold my car because it's like, look, I don't need it anymore.
Right.
I'm going to be at home. I don't,
right,
need a car just sitting around not doing anything. If I need to go somewhere, I can figure it out.
And you can also make that car, that cash that you get back from it work,
yeah,
for you.
Yes.
Investing. So another thing, folks, if you haven't started, start your retirement portfolio now.
Yeah.
Like, figure out how to put whatever you can.
Something. Yep.
So it can accrue and make you money by the time you retire.
Yeah.
Not that I paused it, but like, I definitely didn't put as much as I should have
yeah.
during the years that I was building my nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And I just now started ramping it back up.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard though.
It is hard.
You got to make sacrifices.
You do.
And I had to do the same thing.
Well, and you know, that's where, you know, influencers in how to reduce your finances and get it on the right track, like Dave Ramsey and things like that. So important.
Yep.
But I think there is a way, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm also that person that, like, as Stephanie and I were talking, I take risks.
Yeah.
I take huge risks. Like, not many people just quit their jobs and, mm-hmm. and you know, sell off 3/4 of their stuff and just leave.
No.
No, I'm probably a 0.01%er mm-hmm. that does, mm-hmm. that has done that.
Yeah.
It's scary as hell, people.
Yeah.
Because, but going back, I was in a position of privilege.
Yep.
I didn't have debt.
Yep.
And I didn't have responsibilities to anyone else besides myself.
Yep.
So if I knew, mm-hmm. push comes to shove, that I was like, I don't know what to do with myself. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to accrue debt. I could go put myself back in the wheel of the corporate America.
You can always go back to work.
I can always go back to work.
Yep.
Now, as I'm learning, I definitely want to be more involved with people on mm-hmm. my day to day. So mm-hmm. again, you know, going back to happiness, mm-hmm. I get so much great energy from being around people. Mm. And so now being a 2-person nonprofit that's doing a lot of great work and doing a lot of speeches on stage and stuff like that, I don't really get a lot of one-on-one interaction of working with people. So those are my goals. So I'm realizing, okay, how do I make this happen for myself?
Yeah.
Whether it's personal or work related, I need to start interacting with more people mm-hmm. to succeed.
Yeah.
Because it will bring the right energy and I think the right pressure to, you know, say I've accomplished this, let's move on, things like that. So so I think, all right, so let's shift, go back to mm-hmm. So Stephanie, we've talked about, you know, we worked together, mm-hmm. we've gone on different paths, mm-hmm. we've traveled the world, mm-hmm. not together, but in our own mm-hmm. own way, mm-hmm. shape and form. Mm-hmm. But now here you are. You are an entrepreneur in Atlanta, and you have started something. So let's talk about that.
Sure. So I started a cleaning service, home service, residential and commercial. It's called The Moxie Maids. And again, that just kind of came when I was in my last job. I knew I had to do something.
Right.
And for me, like, I'm not the type of person that's like, I'm just going to create something that's never been done before, right? I think you might be that guy, right? You can kind of just say, you know what? I've never seen this. I'm going to create it. Right. I don't think I'm that girl. So I knew I wanted something that was simple in a sense that some people were already doing it, but maybe I can serve it up better. And I thought the cleaning industry was perfect for that because I knew I've hired a cleaning service before. I didn't love the experience,
right.
but I knew it was something that I've spent money on. So I knew money was there. So,
and people will always have houses.
And people are never going to go out of style. People are always going to have a house, whether big or tiny. Mm-hmm. They're always going to have a house. And if you're a busy professional, which a lot of Atlantans are, you may need help around the house. So that's where we kind of come in to kind of bridge that gap. So that's kind of how everything started. And I just kind of took it off from there. And, you know, a couple years into it, it's been great. A lot of lessons, a lot of ups and downs.
But to that, it's almost like your own MBA. I always describe that. I'm like, I have in making it up as you go. There's nothing more valuable than just getting your hands dirty.
Yes. And speaking of MBA, I have my MBA, right? And I can tell you, I'm not convincing anyone not to go to get their MBA. This experience has been the best MBA I've ever had because there are just certain things fundamentally that you're just not going to know in a textbook. You're not going to figure it out. You have to get in there and do it, fail, adjust.
Customer service, you know, you just never know. Like, there are some very fascinating people out there, folks. You know,
interesting folks.
Interesting folks. We don't need to go into the particulars.
Right. You won't get messy. Mm-hmm.
But we know in a service-oriented business, mm-hmm. there is going to be those people that you've got to bring them from, you know, on mm-hmm. fire to, like, mm-hmm. subdued and right. they're happy or at least resolve the issue.
Yes, yes. And those are the things.
That's something you do not learn in an MBA.
You do not learn in an MBA. You do not learn it in a textbook. I mean, I know it may be different for us, but even, like, you know, branding and pricing and all those things, I'm constantly changing that.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you just don't know. And again, when you're an entrepreneur, no one's telling you. Like when you go to a company, they say, we're selling this and it's $9.99. Okay, fine. They figured it out. They've done all the research. When you have your own business, how do you price? How do you communicate your message? What type of customer is your customer? Because I had to learn.
Defining your character.
Defining your, all of that. Because I thought for me, anybody that had a credit card, let's go. Like you are my customer. Now, no way. Like there's people who I'm just like, I can tell automatically you're not my customer. Let's just salvage this relationship and move on.
Yep.
But no one teaches you that.
Right.
That's, you have to learn from trial and a lot of error. That's just it. And I think those are the things I think that people don't want to do.
Right.
Because it's hard and it can have you up at night.
Right.
Like what the hell is going on?
So the Moxie Maids.
Yes.
Have lessons.
Yes.
So we are a minimalist. We are talking about minimalism today on the Micro Life podcast.
Yep.
And, you know, I think, you know, the idea of what a home is. Let's start with, before we get into our life lessons from Moxie Maids.
Yeah.
The definition of home has changed.
Yes.
And again, folks, we're not talking about any particular size.
Mm-mm.
We're not particularly focusing on a style
mm-hmm.
or where it is,
mm-hmm.
but a home
mm-hmm.
needs to feel like a home.
Yeah.
It should be a respite, a way for you to come home and just say, this is my little slice of heaven.
Yes.
And it allows me to feel like I am just, in my definition,
mm-hmm.
it's just relaxing and a big hug.
Yep. Yeah.
So before we jump into the lessons, what size of houses, again, like, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want anyone to feel like their home is not worthy of a minimalist overhaul,
mm-hmm.
but, or minimalist touch. And I'm not telling you, we won't get into how you downsize.
Yeah.
But, you know, what homes does the Moxie Maid see?
So we see all types of homes. So we clean small apartments, mm-hmm. studios, and we clean, you know, bigger homes and, you know, Buckhead and North Georgia Hill, they kind of skew a little bit bigger. So we've seen it. I've definitely seen it all. My staff have seen it all. So we've seen all types of homes and we've seen all types of spaces and we've seen people living in a variety of ways. And like you said, there's no definition of what makes a home.
Right.
But I think, you know, like you said, I think that's another reason why people, I think, hire our company, because like you said, you want your home to be, this is my little slice of heaven. And I want to walk into my home and feel a certain way. It should be, you know, you're out in the world fighting traffic and all that stuff. And it's cluttery and crazy out in the world. When you come home, it should be relaxing and peaceful.
Right.
And you can have that in a studio and you can have that in a 5-bedroom house.
So we are going to move on to our lessons mm-hmm. from the Moxie Maids about minimalism.
Yeah.
So lesson number one.
Yeah. So more stuff that I've seen, I've seen more chaos, right? So when you speak to people or encounter people and they just seem a little chaotic in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. Life is hard. And then you walk into their house, you see why. Their house kind of resembles what you're seeing on the outside. It's just full of stuff. And then when you go in, sometimes it can be hard to clean because there's just stuff everywhere. So it's like sometimes we don't even go into some people's house to clean. It's just more to organize because they just don't know what to do with their stuff.
So more stuff kind of means more chaos in one's life.
Yeah, because you just have stuff. You don't know what to do with it. You don't really want to get rid of it.
That is a huge, and not to go into a little bit of downsizing, but it is so hard to let go of things.
So hard.
I remember when I did my downsize and got rid of 3/4 of my stuff, I just remember like, it was just like this weird laugh, cry, wailing in the fetal position of just like kind of going insane.
Yeah.
Because it's also a lot of work.
Yes.
You have to organize it.
Yes.
You have to figure out if you want to sell some, donate, where it's going to go, or make sure it's passed on to relatives so they can utilize it and know the history of it.
Yeah. And, and I think that sometimes too, a lot of people, you just have so much, sometimes you feel like you have an emotional attachment to stuff.
Right.
And you can't give it up. You're like, well, this was something that I painted in the third grade. I just don't want that to go anywhere.
Right.
So you have that too. But like I said, when I've seen houses that people are like calm and they're cool and collective, and then I go into their house and it's like, everything has a place. Everything is just neat and organized and everything. And I'm like, wow, no wonder. Like you, when I talked to you on the phone, you just were so like carefree.
Right.
And then you're living a carefree life. You step in someone's home and you see how their house is. It's like, okay, this is a reflection of the energy that you're giving to me.
So that's lesson number two. Everything has a place.
Yes. Everything has a place. And so, like I said, when we come into people's homes, I see that, you know, it's important to designate like, okay, this is my office area. So I'm doing, you know, work here, you know, in our kitchen. Like this is where we gather and we do things here in our living room. This is where we do things here. So many of the clients that I have that when you can tell when their life is really structured, their house reflects that. Like everything has a place in their house and they want it to stay that way. And we go in, we make sure we maintain that same continuity that they want to have as well.
Awesome. All right. And our final lesson, lesson number three.
Yes. So size does not matter. So like I said, we've cleaned houses, like huge houses, which are great.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with
again,
that. Beautiful homes.
There's no bad things of having a large house or a small house.
No.
It all matters on how you create the home.
How you create the home. And then we've seen houses that have been studios or, you know, one bedrooms, and they've been great and they've been homey and they've people you know, and you know, before obviously going to starting a cleaning company, I didn't just walk into people's houses, right? So I didn't know how people lived. Now when I walk into people's houses, I'm like, man, like I didn't even know you could do this in such a space,
right?
You know, and but people have found unique ways to say, I want to live a certain way and I'm going to make it my own regardless of the size. So I think that's the thing that we have to take from. So wherever you live, make it your own, keep it clean, keep it tidy. You'll be good.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, so folks, you know, we've taken you on a lot of different paths of plots around minimalism.
Yeah.
You know, I think some of the biggest thing is like, do evaluate your life. Sit down and just kind of think like, all right.
Yep.
You know, it might be just organizing a drawer.
Yeah.
Start somewhere. Yeah. But also just write some stuff down. Jot in a job you'd like to do or a something that you'd like to start.
Mm-hmm.
And also like define your own, like what we said, like define success.
Yeah.
And to you and what you want to accomplish, because it might not mean tons of money, but it might mean tons of experiences and fun and people.
Yeah.
And I think also, you know, and as we wrap this up, you know, just lessons from the Moxie Maids of just, you know, more stuff could mean more chaos.
Yeah.
So really evaluate your shopping habits and what you bring into your home and what you need to take out.
Yeah.
Also find a place for it.
Yep. Find a place, and make it neat, make it organized. Yep.
And then the last is also, no matter how big your house is or small your house is, make sure you make it a home.
Yeah.
And make it there for you and your family and or your furry family, you know. You need to, there are ways and inexpensive ways to make sure you are creating the best surroundings for you to thrive.
Yeah. And I just want to say this one thing. One thing that you touched on is having more money doesn't often mean being more successful or being more happy. So I think a lot of times we equate that more money with happiness, because I think we equate getting more stuff, meaning we're happy. In order for you to have more stuff, you have to have more money. But I argue if you scale down, you don't need to have as much money, right?
Right.
So in starting my business, I didn't make as much money as I did in corporate America, but I didn't require that much money because I scaled down.
Right.
So I don't feel like my lifestyle totally changed because I didn't require as much money. So if you're going, you're making $150K at a job, but then you scale down and you can live almost just as well at 50K, but you have a totally different lifestyle.
Right.
And you're not doing something that you don't want to do. I would bet on 50K all day. And if I had my time to myself and I can do my own thing on my own schedule, I'll take that 50K over 150K in a minute. So keep that in mind, folks. Like, you can scale your life down and you won't require all this money that you think you have to have just to require exactly. more stuff.
Well, folks, you have been listening to the MicroLife podcast. We have the awesome guest, Stephanie Richardson with the Moxie Maids.
Yeah.
Stephanie, what's your website and how can people get in touch with you?
Sure. So my website is called themoxiemaids with an S.com. So that's themoxiemaids.com. And our phone number is 470-481-0707. And you can reach me at Stephanie@themoxiemaids.com. Oh, and also on social media. We are the Moxie Maids. Just the Moxie Maids on Facebook and Instagram.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much for coming and coming to our tiny office on the Beltline. And folks, this is Will Johnson, the Executive Director of the MicroLife Institute, signing off and say, I hope you have or can find a minimalist way in some sort of lifestyle of your life. And just thanks so much for being here, Steph.
No problem. This is great. Thanks, guys.